We're backstage with Don Liuzzi, principal timpani of the Philadelphia Orchestra. This work by James McMillan is a fascinating way to start a three-week festival on the British Isles because it's not conventionally British. It's actually not conventionally anything.
No, it's a real, actually, in a way, it's like a sitting down with a child looking through a book of animals, caged animals, followed by maybe the second movement where the animals come alive and they're out of their cages and all hell breaks loose.
Wow. I understand it's modeled after pictures at an exhibition, and it's a sequence of images of different animals.
Yeah, it literally, the opening is a quote of the same time signature, a 5-4 and 6-4 put together, which in this case is an 11-4. And it's structured in the same way, a melody, but not the same melody as pictures, obviously, the Ravel Mussorgsky. But it's structured in the same way. You're walking through, in this sense, you're not walking through an exhibition, you're looking through pages of a book.
And we're sitting here with a score you brought. This is great. There are so many non-musical descriptions in the program. Are these non-musical descriptions also in the score? Do they guide you?
Each page, the first page is a hyena, which is depicted by kind of crying woodwinds, and the organist keeps kind of coming in and out of the picture here. So that's your first page. And the second page, it gives us a direction. A page is turned, and we hear that same walking music of like a picture's at an exhibition. So we go to the next page, which is reptiles and big fish, which the tuba plays a prominent part. And I don't know if it's a reptile or a big fish or a whale or whatever, but it's definitely it's a dance for the tuba. And at one point, it goes into a waltz. So it's very playful stuff.
So how does the orchestra approach this in rehearsal? Are you thinking about these non-musical images as well?
Well, the first rehearsal, we're all just trying to get through the music and not get lost. But, you know, from then on, these images that, I mean, these directions in the score telling which page, which animals are being depicted, it's helpful, yeah, to know kind of what's going on and give it more character.
Well, could you talk about your role back there with the timpani and the percussion? What's going on back there?
Well, a timpani, my role in the timpani, no pun intended, there are a few big roles that kind of crescendo into different sections, but the timpani is acting more as a punctuation of moods. It's not got a huge part. The whole percussion section, though, is fantastic. I mean, every movement has a different percussion. There's a lion's roar at one point depicting a lion that's gotten loose.
How is that portrayed?
Well, actually, that's in the uncaged section. The percussion actually goes nuts in the uncaged section, which is literally, I think, trying to depict these animals come to life off the page with no cages. So as Yannick said in rehearsal, are they living together well? Maybe not. It's bedlam. At one point, there's towards the end of the first movement, when we're still looking at the pictures, there's a jackass. In fact, the title is Jackass Hackass. I'm not so sure what that means, but this donkey is jumping around, and it's depicted at first by a boron, which is a handheld frame drum from Scotland, Ireland, and that's kind of the beginning of this dance of the donkey. And then the typewriter comes in. Again, it's a very playful depiction of this picture of a donkey gone nuts.
So people are coming in and out, and I guess, well, it's always important to pay attention, but this, you must be on high alert
piece. It's very episodic. You've got to be counting your behind off, as I say sometimes to my students, count your behind off. But at some point, you have to sing. The orchestra members have to do an amen, and it's actually written in the score. And then later in the second movement, where the animals are uncaged, we actually have to, when the organ plays a particular chord, we have to choose out a pitch within the chord and hum it as kind of like an afterglow of the sound of the organ, which actually it's a beautiful effect.
Wow. What's your personal feeling about this piece?
You know, it's funny. Last week when we all were starting to really practice this hard, there's YouTube performances out there. I think it was recorded on Nonesuch. I'm not sure if it was LA Phil or which orchestra did the recording. But it's pretty bombastic. The end is some of the loudest music you'll ever hear. I mean, it's really, the end is almost like a wild dance of all these animals, almost like a sacrificial dance at like the end of A Rite of Spring, only crazier. So we're really, you're not holding back. In fact, this is the one piece towards the end of the where the animals are unloosed, and we're playing The Rite of Spring with all the animals gone nuts. I actually use earplugs, which is a big, you know, my colleagues are going, what, you're using earplugs? No, I want to save my ears. So.
Well, that's something coming from somebody back in that section, coming from the principal timpanist.
Yeah, well, at the end, it is gone nuts. And actually, it's not like it's an ugly, it's a cacophony that's in a way beautiful, beautifully powerful. But I feel like it's almost overwhelming. I almost hear better when my earplugs are in. I can hear my sound better instead of everything around me.
That's right. And you have to tune in the middle of this piece.
Tune in the middle of it. So, but sorry, you can still hear through earplugs towards the end when I'm tuning carefully for the end. It's great. it's nuts. It's actually a very fun and evocative piece if you take it metaphorically. I mean, as far as our world is concerned, I mean, if you, where the wild things are, what was that?
Maurice Senda.
Yes. I mean, it's really kind of a crazy version. If you're in the metaphor of people to animals, are we living together harmoniously? At the end of this movement, the second movement, we're not.
And there's so many influences in this piece.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, Macmillan is quoting from Wagner at certain points, kind of bombastic, heroic music to the lions are about to jump out of their cage, out of the page. But there's actually really funny quotes from carnival music, not only carnival, but the circus. You know, from really from Barnum and Bailey kind of quotes, and also cartoonish, which is, again, I think Macmillan was really with the commission from the LA Phil and the nod to Hollywood and the nod to the cartoon world. He meant it to be cartoonish in a sense.
But yet you also have hymns and
exactly.
Jazz influences.
Oh, you know, there's jazz. There's a drum set going on at some point. I forget which animal is swinging, but it might be the monkey at some point is swinging away. Oh, this is in where the animals are uncaged, the second movement. So I imagine a monkey really swinging it out here. So after the howler monkey is Uncle Tom Cat and his chickens, and it's a very hysterical play. I think the organ is Uncle Tom Cat, and we're the chickens, and the Tom Cat is looking to eat the chickens, I think. So it's very playful stuff.
Does Yannick have any particular approach to this piece?
You know, as a conductor, when you're putting together such a big score, I mean, this is a thick score, he's just organizing not only the tempo changes and having to really pay attention to those and make sure that the soloist is with him and he's with the soloist. It's, as we've been rehearsing it, there'll be some jokes about these different pages that he shares with the orchestra. But he's really, most of the time, we're just trying to put this thing together. And there's not a whole lot of time for, quote, interpretive analogies. I mean, it's really written in the music and in these descriptions of each page.
I have the sense that timpani and percussion, when you have a piece that's very big and eclectic and crazy, and mm-hmm. that you guys are the key to keeping everything on track.
Well, because it's such a thickly written percussion score, I mean, the timpani part is, when I play, it's important and it's bold and soloistic, but it's you really, I don't think of the timpani as separate from the percussion in this piece. It's really all one color, sound color that we're adding to these different pictures of this animal book. So you're right. In a sense, the percussion is hugely important in this kind of a piece because we're so gosh darn busy.
Wow. You've been in the orchestra since what year?
1989, as I started.
So you have a really good perspective on how music has evolved and changed and how new repertoire such as this have changed the feel of concerts.
Yeah, no, actually, we've played his music before. I mean, he did a percussion, James Macmillan did a beautiful percussion concerto called Veni, Veni, Emmanuel. We did it early in the early 90s, I think, with pretty famous solo percussionist Evelyn Glennie. So we played that piece by him, which was beautiful. And then we did a big oratorio about basically he was celebrating the birth of either a child or a grandchild. An incredibly powerful oratorio that we did about 10 or 15 years ago. So we're familiar with Mr. McMillan's work, and it's powerful writing. It's thick writing. It's not Debussy or Copland or simple. I mean, not to denigrate Debussy or Copland. I love those guys, but it's very dense music. It's in a way almost like Henze, in a way, only a little more understandable than Henze's music.
Well, it's interesting that it starts this festival of music from the British Isles, because if anyone thinks they can generalize about music from any culture right now, they can't.
No.
Well, it certainly makes for a varied program. After intermission, we'll hear Handel's Water Music, wow, selections of it, and then Britten's 4C Interludes.
Which, the 4C Interludes are some of my favorite music. Such a powerful piece. Everything that Benjamin Britten wrote is so imaginative and evocative of a visual. You always get a visual image, like the visual images that James McMillan has given. This is a very image-oriented concert. It's really meant to take you somewhere visually.
And you're pretty busy in the Britten.
Oh, yeah, especially the storm, the last movement. Timpani drives the storm, pretty much, although there's great intervals of calm in between mountainous waves, but it's just a fantastic piece. Everything he wrote last year when we did the War Requiem, that's another piece that shows just how much imagination Benjamin Britten had for orchestral sounds and emotions, you know, real emotions of what music can depict.
Do you have any favorite repertoire yourself for your instrument?
Oh, for my instrument? Well, favorite. I mean, Bartok knew how to write for the timpani. That's anything that Bartok wrote always had a tough timpani part. So when Bartok shows up on the concert, I get the sweats, but because it's going to be, you know, a busy night. But I don't really have any favorite composers these days. My goal really is to love every piece I'm doing.
So this is the first of 3 weeks. Do you have any comments on the festival as a whole?
No, I always think it's an interesting programmatic approach when you're dealing with a season to have mini festivals. I always thought that was a great idea, and we've done it before. It's not the first time, but Yannick is doing it a fair amount, and this year it's a geographical area, which is we're looking at composers' output from various places, from anywhere from Handel to James McMillan, or next week Peter Maxwell Davies. I think it's a fun way to kind of do a little snapshot of what's been going on historically, anywhere from Baroque to the present.
Thank you so much, Don Liuzzi.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.